It It says material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Then he goes on, nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. It's bewildering, isn't it, when you read this? Very technical. But actually, we try and understand, because this verse is basically a concluding verse, kind of, which encompasses all of this discussion. So we'll try and analyze also, and we may also go back to these verses, what is being discussed. Then text 22, actually this is kind of the seed verse for the next 5 chapters, most important verse. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life enjoying the 3 modes of nature. This is due to its association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. And then the last thing we actually discuss is, yet in this body there is another transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter and who is known as the super soul. So here in these 4 verses, actually Krishna is explaining the material nature, the modes of material nature, how it impacts the living entity, and now in this last, the previous verse, super soul. And then in this verse he says that one who understands this philosophy of the material nature, the living entity and their interrelations with the 3 modes of material nature attains liberation. So the word understand also is very significant. Because one may say, yes, I understand, in a term of understanding any knowledge. But that understanding is not what is meant here. You know, like we can discuss on a topic or a subject and say, yeah, I understand that subject. But that understanding is not what is meant here. What is meant is, one who understands this philosophy will be convinced to come to the point of total surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So that is the meaning of surrender, of understanding. That means once we understand this philosophy, will attain liberation, not just by a theoretical understanding, but he will come to a point where he is convinced that yes, the only way out is to surrender to Lord Krishna. So that is the meaning of understanding. And then, the liberation. So what is the liberation that Krishna is talking here? Not devotional service. The liberation, devotional service is the way to attain that. And of course, even after attaining the devotional service continues. But here the liberation in this context is very simple, is that one does not have to take again another material body. That is liberation. So that's why he says that he will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So that is also very significant, because regardless of the sense that you don't have to have such a qualification, you don't have to have a platform that you have to reach here, then you can attain this. No. Anybody who comes from any background, any caste, creed, whatever, can attain this. So that is again a very, you know, a mercy of the Lord that is given. But one has to take to this philosophy. So, and the other very significant one, actually, that Rupa also points, and there is a lecture given on this particular verse by Rupa also, so I've taken some points from there as well. And Rupa says the first thing actually is that, see Krishna, how much he is thinking about us. And then, let's throw this to the audience. Like here, this verse Krishna is saying that one will not take birth again. Can anybody recollect any other words that Krishna says something similar in the Bhagavad Gita? There's so many of them actually. So many. जन्म कर्म समय दिव्यम एवं विवेदित तत्वाद्यम पुनर्जन्म नैति मानी सुवर्तना. सो देयर अगेन कृष्ण सेज दैट वन हू अंडरस्टैंड्स मी नो मोर बर्थ एंड डेथ. Then there is one more verse actually that is which goes over other points. But there are a lot of other verses. Yes, go. Yes, not that person. But so this is the 15th chapter actually. Now, where Krishna says that yes, there is another loka or another place, that is spiritual world, where there is no need for the sun or moon, self-illuminating. And once he reaches there, does not come back again. So see, Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita, actually he is putting, emphasizing this point again and again and again and again. Why? So that we can hammer in our heads that this is the aim of life. This is the goal of our life. This should be the goal of our life. That to go back to God, back to Krishna. And that is why Krishna is telling this again and again in different chapters in different ways. So that Prabhupada in the purport, he is explaining that what is knowledge? He says that in the purport that one who understands this becomes eligible or becomes liberated and turns to spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. So that is again a very important point that Prabhupada puts there as what is knowledge. Because we, in this material world, we have seen different understanding of knowledge or different understanding of a learned person. We have so many degrees, uncountable actually. And sometimes you don't believe a person can get so many degrees. The sincerity card is not enough space for all the so-called nomenclatures of so many degrees that he's got. And we see in Prabhupada's different meetings and in lectures, particularly in the SSR, he meets so many of the big professors, so many intellectuals who teaches to the PhD students. Prabhupada is not impressed with all that academic knowledge and the learning. He just simply puts to the point, do you know who you are? Do you know why there is suffering in this world? Do you know where you come from? Do you know what happens after death? So nobody can answer that. None of the university there is anything to teach this knowledge. So this is the knowledge that Prabhupada is stressing in the purport. And in this particular verse that Krishna wants to tell us. It's very unfortunate that even the India, that this culture is there, but there is nowhere in any university or anywhere that this has been put stress on to study their own scriptures. So this is the unfortunate thing, but that we should know what knowledge is. So one, the knowledge which actually gives fulfillment to the soul. We learn so many things with the aim that we will get happiness. We will get some fulfillment in life, some achievement in life. But that is all going to be temporary. And it will lead to more frustration. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says actually, that this knowledge or this learning of this material world is just like a becoming a big dog. Why is that? Because we just put on so much of stuff in our head. It's like carrying all the weights like a donkey and getting nothing out of it. Yes, you can get monetary terms, you can get a wonderful comfortable life to live on, but that's for just a few years of this eternal life. What we are losing against this few pennies, that we need to understand. So that knowledge actually, what Prabhupada is stressing in the purport. And then going back to the verses, Krishna therefore explains the basic philosophy again, we go back, that the Jivatma, the serving entity or the soul, is not of this material world. It has nothing to do with material, this material world. It is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Am Mamai Vamshi Yuloke, Yuruddha Sahasana. So it is his Amsha. Amsha of the Supreme Lord. So it is completely spiritual. So it has nothing to do with this mortal or material nature. And this material nature in itself is like a dead matter. The Pradhan actually discusses probably a few previous verses about what this material nature is all about, all the 24 elements. But everything that we discuss is basically at the end of the day is actually dead matter, in a sense that it is ignorance, no consciousness, until the soul enters into the body. Now when you talk about material nature, okay, it doesn't just mean the cosmic manifestation of it. The body itself is material nature. So when the soul enters into the body, then there is life, then there is consciousness. So that is very easy to understand, right? Everybody understands that. Even big doctors, but they will not claim that there is something is losing. Person is dying and everything is being given, oxygen, this, that, injection, everything is being given. And then finally the soul leaves the body and the doctor says, sorry, you couldn't help this. But they will not say that the soul has left the body. They don't know that. They say that yes, the person is dead. So that we know what I accept. But that is the knowledge that lives in our scripture, the Lord is giving us. So here, unless the soul enters, which is actually the spiritual energy, part of Krishna, until it enters into the material nature, it is just ignorant. There is no life. So basically all life, the symptom of consciousness, or the symptom of life is consciousness. Right? You prick on your nail, you don't get anything. But you prick any part of the body, you get a sensation. Why? The Prabhupada explained that consciousness actually flows through the blood. And the consciousness is there because of the presence of the soul. Once the soul loses, you conduct the body, whatever you can do, nobody is going to do nothing. No response. So that is very basic. Right? It's very basic. We all understand, we've heard so many times. But yet, we fall into this trap. What trap? The trap is that even though we are part of Krishna, even though we are part of the spiritual energy which is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, because we get entered into this material nature, why do we enter into the material nature? First of all, because we want to be Krishna. You don't want to serve Krishna, you want to be Krishna. You want to be the enjoyer. So it's like your father, when the child is very naughty and he says, I want this, I want this, I want this. So the father will. Okay, you get this, but there is a condition. You play the organ. Like for example, or you have to do this. So like that, Krishna says, okay, you want to be Krishna, you want to be the enjoyer, fine. I'll prepare a room for you. A special body for you. Everything, all facilities are there. Then you can go and enjoy like a controller. So it puts us in the material nature. So therefore Krishna says, Prabhupada says, that in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, that one has to understand very beautifully, right? The purpose of this knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. That by chance, the Prabhupada is writing, Krishna also explained about the words in Bhagavad Gita. That is, look at the words actually. It says, because of the rebellious nature, because of envy and hate, you have to come down. Forget the words, anybody recollects these words. So that is, Ichcha Dvesha Samudena, yes. So because of that Ichcha, what Ichcha? To become Krishna. And then, because there is that Ichcha, that is do it naturally, right? In your office, if somebody has got a higher position and you want to get that position, what happens? You automatically become envious to that person. Correct? You don't support him. You try to put him down so that you can get that position. So the same way, we get that ichha, the desire to enjoy, to become Krishna, to become the controller, the proprietor, everything. So Krishna says, okay, don't worry, everything is there available for you. No, this is the material nature for you. So he puts that. And then we try to become the controller. Now the irony is that in this material world, we think that by knowledge, by acquiring so much of knowledge and all that, we can become the controller. But what does Krishna say here? Krishna says that that is ignorance. Big philosophers, learned people, they have this in mind, that is, I will become the controller. Why there is so much of scientific technological advancement? What do you want to achieve? You want to control. But then, even in spite, nature is showing so many things, so many examples. As a devotee, when something happens in nature, we shouldn't just see it like a mundane person, oh, something, this has happened. We should see there as a confirmation to these scriptures, to what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, to what Krishna is saying in Bhagavatam. There was a recent tragedy, Iceland, such a small place, nobody heard about it. Simple volcano. Well, the whole Europe, practically the half of the world, comes to a halt. People frustrated. So much of advancement, right? Nothing can be done. For so many days, people have been just sleeping in the airports. See the nature, the power of nature. Yet, people think that, oh, by technology we can advance, we can control everything. But Krishna says that is complete ignorance. Why? Because the learned person knows very well that we are not the controller. We are subordinate to the material nature as well as Krishna. Once you know that, that is knowledge. That is a learned person who accepts that yes, my position is to be subordinate, not the controller. So, now the next point comes. Because you want to be this controller, automatically the desire is to enjoy. Correct? So now, as soon as you are put into the material nature, into the material world, immediately, the influence of the three modes of material nature is there. You cannot escape. Nobody can escape. That's why the Bhagavatam also, in spite, the soul in the womb prays, correct? So ardently to Krishna, that oh, such an abominable place, such a miserable place. I just want to get out. And once I get out, oh Lord, if you release me, I will surrender to you. But what happens? No child in this world comes out and says, Hari Bol. Everybody comes and starts crying. What is that crying? Immediately the contact of the immortal material nature. Straight away. Nobody escapes. So as soon as you are put into the material nature, finish. The three modes of material nature completely entraps you. And now the point is, now because you are trying to be the controller, obviously the desire of controller is to what? To enjoy. Right? If you are trying to control something, the idea is to do what? To enjoy that object. So, the moment we think about this, the moment we act upon this, the moment we speak about this, you are already getting entangled to the modes of this material nature. See how powerful it is and how intricate and how subtle it is. In this technological world, we have so many networks. Right? So many networks. LAN network, virtual LAN, this network, that network, worldwide web networks, so many things. But just see the technological advancement of Krishna. The three modes of material nature. And what Prabhupada explains, the three modes of material nature, let's take this simple analogy, or I'll explain the analogy later. The Sattva-gun, Raja-gun and Tama-gun, the three modes, the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. There were these hundreds and thousands of times. But one who understands this very intricately, very easy to them to go out of these three modes. So these three modes, they actually, guna means ropes, right? So this guna, actually the three ropes, they interwove, they twine in with each other, and that rope becomes so very strong that you can't cut it. It's not easy to cut. So Prabhupada explains that these three modes, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, three, they go into different types of combination and permutations. So if anybody knows this mathematical logics, permutation and combinations, they will understand 3 into 3, that makes 9. 9 into 9, that makes 81. Like that, there are 8.4 billion species of life. Can you understand this technological advancement? The network that Krishna has, just with these three modes, simple. These three modes, depending on the degree or the variation of this combination and permutation, you have 8.4 lakh species of life. And based on our degree to where we are attached, automatically you are given that specific one. Take and enjoy. Because you are in this mode, you are enjoying the bliss. So everything that we see around, all the manifestation that we see around this material nature is just the outcome of the network of these three modes. So powerful and so strong. So the analogy I come to. The analogy that we can think about is the three principal colors. Right? The R, Y and D. So let's see, the Y is the mode of goodness, the yellow color is red in the passion, and blue is in ignorance. So when you make these three colors to different degrees, you have a variation of colors. Variation of colors, right? So that is how these different variations of species of life come about. And then Darwin's philosophy, what does it say? We all come from monkeys. Such a great heritage. So that's why Prabhupada actually sometimes very forcefully, he tells his scientists and so many things, you know, that Krishna, according to Krishna, they are fools. Why? Because they don't understand this actually the intricate absolute truth of how things are working. Prabhupada gives another example, that the scientists are trying to work around these physical elements, water, fire, ether, all that. But they still don't understand why one physical element is so valuable and why the other not. Why? Because of the influence of the gunas. Because of the influence of the modes. So therefore, something is valuable, something is not. So this is a very intricate science to understand. And once you understand this, then you know the way out also. Because Krishna himself gives the way out. Because he is more eager for us to come back. Like a father, even though the child is rebellious and he leaves home, but father will always think about it. That when will that fool come back? Why is he suffering there? Trying to achieve something. I have everything here. Just come here. That's all. So that's what Krishna is also trying to say in all these 700 verses. Very simple language. That we all fools trying to become Krishna, and we say, okay, I will become Krishna. So we are not here. If we just understand this, that we are not, our nature, our constant position is not to be Krishna. Our constant position is to be like a good son, the father, serving the father. Then, very easy, automatically we go back. Everything is there. Yeah, we are trying to earn few billion and this and that, trying to create the empire. The whole spiritual world is there. This is how, this is actually 1/3 of the entire creation. And still we are struggling to become, I don't know, empire. Foolish. Even Guru Maharaj can say finally, right? That what I was trying to think about. Foolishness. This is a few pieces of glass. And when you play with glass, what happens? You enjoy it? No, you don't enjoy it. You get cuts. That's what happens in the material nature. We are trying to lay a few pieces of glass, and then it eventually something is there. The moment you desire to enter this material world, 100%, not 100%, 200%, guarantee suffering will be there. So as long as we hope that through this material body I will be able to enjoy, what happens? You become more attached to this body and anything that is connected to this body. And when that attachment comes, automatically suffering is there. But if we give up this hope, just for a moment think about this, if we give up this hope, that there is no way I will be able to enjoy through this body, then immediately a detachment comes. And when there is detachment, then you are automatically, then there is no more suffering. There is no more suffering. Why? Because then it comes to the point that you are, what is the hope? That is, I can't enjoy through this body. First point. Second point, I have not this body also. You have been rented into this rental apartment. Okay? And you are not even paying the fee, the rent. That is our position. Like a thief. Krishna has given us this water, different kinds of water, one is the dog body, animal body, cat body, human body, and we have been renting these waters. He is the actual owner, provider of everything, and we think we are the owner. But because we have been staying for so long, that happens in India, right? If you rent to somebody without any legal document, and if he says, oh, I have been staying here for 15 years, 20 years, now this belongs to me. The owner comes, no, this is my place. No, no, no. This is belongs to me. And legally then it will be. So that won't happen in the Krishna's law. You will be forced out of this water. In spite of so much of pleading and no, I don't want to go with this body, I don't want to leave this body. You will get a next body. And the next body also you can't say, I want this, I want a sofa set, I want an LCD TV, I want an HD TV, you won't get that. You have a dog's body, you have a fixed body, you have this body, you have to be forced to go in that. And that is what comes to that verse 22. Sar asa bhumishu. What is that? The last line of that. Sar asa bhumishu janshu. Sar and asar means whether it is good or bad. Janmasu. Yogi means the source, the mother. Mother is the source of giving birth in any kind of birth, in this material world, right? So you will be forced to the source, Janmasu. So that is the point we have to understand. We have no control over anything, Yet we moment after moment actually we have this thought that I am the controller. All these people that are trapped now, they would have 50 plans. Oh, this day I am going to this big meeting, then the next day I am going to fly to this place, the next day I am going to go fly to this place. Everything stopped in a moment. One people walking home, dust finished. See. One tsunami, everything, the whole village, the whole country is half, you know, gone, like that. If tsunami comes to Singapore, I don't think even the dog will be there in the land. You know? That is the condition, we are trying to control things. Actually, yesterday I was coming back from the office, and you know, there was in the evening, it was very heavy rains, very heavy thunder. What happened? They have the LRT trains stopped. People were trapped in between, they had to be removed out. And we are giving this technology to the world. But we don't understand nature is so powerful, so powerful. So coming back to the desire of enjoyment, yes, you may say, okay, I cannot enjoy now. I will not enjoy. I will give up everything. But you think it is possible? No, it's not possible. As long as two points. First point, as long as we have this material body, it is not possible. Because the nature, the mode of material nature, will force they will force you. You give up one time, you try doing that, or maybe you have tried any number of times, you try doing this, we give up. And then Maya will say, okay, you give up now, you try next time. And then see what happens. And therefore, Arjuna asked in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? That in spite of trying so hard, in spite of knowing, I am forced to do certain things. How many of us have experienced this? You know I am not supposed to do this. This is such an abominable thing to do. I will not do next time. And again next time comes. We are so ashamed actually, even to go in front of the mirror and see our face sometimes. But yet we do that activity again and again. So much more. That is the nature, the power of nature. The power of these modes of material nature. So much entanglement. And the moment we do that activity, finish. Again you are entangled. So deep inside now again. You know? It's like a deep dark well. You know, you take one, two steps inside, you go more inside, you go more inside. So that is the first point of why it is so difficult. But then, or before I go to that point, so therefore what happens? The material modes of nature also actually plays tricks with us. You know? We have seen the waves of the ocean. How it comes and goes, it comes and goes. Same way. The mode of material nature actually kicks us. Go to the mode of goodness. Oh, okay, now I'm very good. Sattvic. I'll be very good for others. I'll be very polite. I'll be so nice for others. I'll be tolerant, patient. Something happens. Moment gone, a strike of passion comes in. So you're kicked. You're being tossed up and down like that. Like how the cat plays with the mouse. Like that, the Maya is playing with us. And Maya is enjoying. And we are thinking we are enjoying. See the irony. We are thinking we are enjoying. But actually Maya is enjoying. That this stupid fool, he is thinking that I am the controller. Let's see. So the next moment, the passion, more of passion strikes into the mind and we say, I must get this. I have to get this. I have to gratify my senses. Burning desire. I must fulfill this. I want to achieve this. I want to have more money. I want to have more recognition. Like that. And that's more of ignorance. More of ignorance. Then we feel intoxicated, sleepy, lazy. Don't do this. And then you become angry at a moment with somebody else, you want to beat somebody, you want to shout at somebody. How many of us have gone through this? So many times, in a day, in 1 hour, in one moment, we go through this up and down, up and down, up and down. And Maya plays with us like that. And how the waves comes in and goes up, you know, kicks us, tossing up and down. So therefore, this mode of material nature, it actually binds us so hard. So then, we come to the next point. Before I go to how to come out of this. So then, another realization. Like you are at the moment, how many of us are feeling sleepy? Maybe for my lecture, I don't know, but otherwise, I am shouting, that's why nobody sleeps. Or how many of us are thinking about, oh, I have to achieve this, or I have to do this in my job, or I have to finish this work, or I have to get this, or whatever. No. Why? Because there's devotees around. There's Krishna Katha going around. There's Krishna here. So, what does that tell us? The environment. The environment is so important also. Like now, most of us is probably more of goodness. At least most of us. But as soon as we step out of the temple, like now, most of us is probably more of goodness. At least most of us. But as soon as you step out of the temple, what will happen? Hardly anybody will be more of goodness. Hardly anybody will be talking about Krishna. All the other world starts. Why? Because the environment is changing. It is so difficult. And the mode of passion immediately captures you. Then you start thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to get this, I have to finish this. But how many of us are in mode of goodness? Everybody is more of ignorance. Where is the bad? Including myself. So see how the mortal nature is playing with us. We can back and forward. So that is something that we should realize. Everything that happens in this nature, in this phenomenal world, everything is trying to teach us something. And as devotees, everything that we see around, everything that we hear about, it should be a confirmation of what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad. Then our faith increases. Then our faith increases, and as well as our progress in spiritual life also increases. Because then we understand that, yes, this is the priority. This is number one. I should do this. All the rest is temporary, subject to destruction, including this material body. So there is no point in taking extra endeavor to take care of this material body, to give more comfort to this material body. It's going to leave you and leave you in pain. Because the material body doesn't suffer. The material nature doesn't suffer. Who suffers? The soul suffers. And why it suffers? Because of ignorance. And what is that ignorance? Because we think we are the body. So because you are entrapped in this material nature, in this body, the modes of nature works in such a way that the soul identifies with the subtle body and then tries to enjoy through it. Right? How it enjoys? The mind is the master of the senses. So the mind tells the senses, I want to see good things, I want to taste nice, I want to hear something nice, I want to touch something nice, so many things. And it dictates. So you are being dictated actually. You are like a slave in this body. You are like a slave in this body. Even though we are supposed to be the master, but because we are identifying with this material body, we fall into this ignorance. And then we try to fall into this trap. So, therefore, and then there is another one point, another analogy I will give you. I'm sure everybody would have gone and watched a movie. Devotees, okay, you know, I'm not supposed to be watching movies, not supposed to be, you know, spending time in ignorance, but yet we are forced sometimes, right? But don't take this excuse. Don't take this excuse and say, oh, probably what kind of yoga is what kind of forced to do. No. Krishna has given a solution to that. We'll come to that. But just to put in the analogy of what happens when the soul gets into the material body, the same analogy I want to give is when you watch a movie, what happens to you? You become part of the movie. Isn't it? Anything around, you don't know what's happening. Somebody is calling you. Death. You become completely into the movie, into the characters. The character, there's some tragedy going and we cry. There's something happening and we laugh. Some joy and we laugh. That's what exactly happens to the soul in this body. Exactly that. As soon as it comes and enters into the material body, it identifies with the material body. Oh, I am this mind, I am this senses, I am this body. So the more happiness I will give to the senses, the more happy I will become. But that never happens. Do you think like that when you watch a movie and you are becoming happy, you cry, you go through so many emotions and sentiments with the movie, but then after 3 hours or after 2 hours you come out of the theater and you are in the ignorance. You start getting headaches. No? And the significance in movies, how do you watch a movie? In darkness. Anybody sees a movie in light, flashlight, in darkness. So So you have to go into the ignorance to take that happiness. You see? So the same thing, the soul also actually goes into that ignorance and then says, yes, I am this body, I am this sense. I like, I write, I eat halwa, I take this sense. I see this sense. This body. So if you understand this, what is happening to us, how the Maya, the most material nature is playing with us, then you come to that at least the platform of consciousness of the soul. Prabha, this is not me. This is not that I am supposed to do this. So you have to understand that first. And then finally, another one last point. I have a lecture on Guru Maharaj also on the same topic. So there, Maharaj also says that finally what happened is because of this so strong desire and so strong bondage, this material enjoyment then becomes an addiction. Becomes an addiction. So as we said, in spite of knowing that I am not supposed to do this, I should give up this, you are forced to do it. And then that becomes an addiction. So just the same example of a TV. If we are addicted to watching television, and if you go in a room where somebody is watching TV, what will happen? You get some water if you are addicted to watching television. Even though it may be children's cartoon or whatever, or immediately, or not make sure that your intelligence is fighting for a while, maybe, but finally, nature will go away. They say, instead of shut up, watch this. And then that's it, we stare. Just something we stare at that. And we lose everything. What we are supposed to do, why we came to that room, what are we doing? Okay, everything is gone. So powerful. In spite of us doing sadhana so many years, understand that. We are taking chanting holy name of Krishna. It's not that the holy name of Krishna is not powerful. It is beyond, much, much beyond. But the problem is with us. Because we are not chanting with that perfection, with that sincerity, with that seriousness, with that determination. So that is the problem with us, not with the holy name. So therefore, we should understand this. Just see in Singapore what's happening. Casinos are being built up. The government is afraid. Why? Because people are naturally addicted to gamble. So what are they doing? They are putting up so many reform places, reform houses, openly declaring you can go and complain about your family member if he's addicted to gambling. No entry for him. But still, we find people come out, they are going. It's an open house. How are you going to stop this? So powerful. If you are addicted to gambling, no matter what happens, you will lose everything, still you will go there. That is the power of it. Okay? And knowing that, the government is already doing something, okay, in their own way, thinking that they will be able to overcome this. It's just a matter of time. So, what is therefore Krishna say? Okay, there was another point which I wanted to discuss, but maybe I mistake because time is short now. There's one more point which I just touched upon, but then I move on to the next one. And that is, if you are in different various religions, it says, okay, now material enjoyment, okay, then one more point to understand this, is that when we go into material enjoyment, it is not something sattvikam, it is not something good. It is actually equivalent to sinful activities. Okay? So sinful activities is nothing different than material enjoyment. Please note that very clearly in the mind. But I mean good to everybody. I give charity to this person, I give it to the poor, I give this person. So what are you doing yourself? I am enjoying. The moment you enjoy, that is sinful activity. part of the material world at all. And the moment you enter into that, you become more entangled. And why you become more entangled? Because that is a sinful activity. Therefore, you see, a sinful activity is an addiction. Material enjoyment is an addiction. So, therefore, what happens in various religions, it is said that, okay, you perform some sinful activity, never mind, you just do this atonement, you just do this simple yajna and get out of it. So this is another concept. But what happens with that? Parishit Maharaj by Bhagavatam, he puts this point for the Siddha Goswami. There are so many religions and so many shastras, it is said, oh, you are born this way, you are born your sins in this manner or that manner. But what is the use? Why is it that? Because he learns from nature. See, what is he learning from nature? Simple elephant path. He's a devotee, a pure devotee, he looks at everything around and he sees Krishna. Everything that Krishna is trying to portray. So Parishit Maharaj, of course, no doubt pure devotee. So just by seeing an elephant, taking a bath, he tells this to Sukhdev Goswami. What is the point of atonement? Why? Because elephant goes into the river, he takes very nice bath, he cleans himself so nicely, he comes out and throws dust on him. Have you seen anybody else in elephant bathing? No? Go to the zoo. They have nice things, you know, they do in the water. I have to go because my child cries for those. Okay, fine. So you see that. When you go and take your children to the zoo, go to the animals. You see what Krishna is trying to teach us to the animals. Everything in nature, Krishna is trying to teach us what? To come to this point. That leave this world. This is the most miserable place. Therefore, I remember Gauravan Maharaj, what he says, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he goes Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that this material world is not meant for gentlemen. How many of us claim to be a gentleman and a gentlewoman? If you think that, it's good, but then please make this as a principle of life, to get out of this world. This world is not meant for gentlemen. So what's that? So, Parishit Maharaj is actually saying that what's the point? Because once you atone for one thing, the moment you are atoning for that thing, the next thing comes. Because you are forced to enjoy, you will make a sinful activity. So you atone, you will do sinful activity. You enjoy. Again atone, again enjoy. Again atone, what is it? This is endless cycle. So you ask Parishit Maharaj, how to get out of this? And what is the reply of Siddha Goswami? The whole pastime of Ajamili, the whole story of Ajamili, now I will not go into that because it's like another 2 hours. I'm sure we can't stand that much, right? Krishna Gatha, yes, it's good. Half an hour, 1 hour, okay. So, anyway, this includes me also, Prabhupada Maharaj, please don't take that. So, he tells the pastime of Ajamili, that how, what happened in his life, I won't go into that. But that is that atonement cycle. And therefore, Siddha Goswami comes to that point. And then Krishna comes to this point of how to get out of the material world, how to get out of the enchantment of being more than material nature. What is that? Angry? Daily Eshaku Mayi? Mam Mayana Dulakaya. Mayana Eshaku Mayi? No, what is it? Mam Yoga Prakante. And then Maya is a Sarasi. So what is that? Daivi Esa Gurmai. The way this Gurmai, this Maya, which is made of this immortal material nature, is so strong. Krishna himself proclaims, now what to tell you one. You already had so much of a theory and lecture, but Krishna himself comes to that point only. He himself is saying, yes, it is very strong. Okay? But one who surrenders to me, can easily cross across this material ocean. In fact, Bhagavad Gita says what? That one who surrenders, it becomes this whole material ocean that we are talking about, is so intricate, so tight, so strong, material motor, nature we are talking about, it just becomes like a puddle created in a footprint of a car. How many of you think can cross that? Even I think all other children also will be able to do that. So that is how easy it is. But easy for who? Who understands this philosophy, who understands this knowledge. That how the same mode of material nature is working, how it is binding us, how it is forcing us, and therefore how determined and how serious we should be to get out of this through surrender to Krishna. Therefore, the first point we come back, that what is the meaning of this understand the word? It's not just a theoretical understanding, but a practical implication of this. That is to surrender to lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada is the purport. He says that by this personal endeavor, in association with authorities, saintly persons and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then develop his spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and then understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, as explained by the personal God. So he says that personal endeavor in association of saintly people and taking guidance of a spiritual master. Now on this point, I'll give you one more realization. Maybe it will give inspiration to us. Have you ever thought that how many lifetimes I would have taken just to sell it to Lakshmi Narayana? Not even in association of devotees, forget that. There are so many people coming in and out, right? Not so many, sorry, so few. Out of these 4 or 5 million people in Singapore, or let's forget Singapore, okay, you mentioned Singapore, oh yeah, there is, you know, so many other different type of people, there's so few Indian people, okay, fine. Let's talk about India. In India, you go and see to these all big temples, they are all empty. Nobody wants to go there. Everybody is busy taking the fast trains, catching the trains, you know. Just imagine, you go to the office tomorrow, and at least those who are working, today it is so sophisticated, no network, your computer crash, or your no network, no email, for whole day, no email, no network, your computer crash. You think you will be happy? Maybe as a remote if you are getting one of these are some of the alternative or you have a good time. But you think people will be happy? Frustrated, you know. You see in the news, you learn from the what's happening. You see in the news, what came before yesterday, there was some breakdown in whatever, some money or something, and the peak period. People went mad, frustrating, shouting. Why? Oh, I can get here, I have to put the off. Passion, driving them. You see that? You may not want to abuse somebody, you may not want to shout somebody. After a while, everything settles down and you think about it. Why did I do that? How many of us have experienced that? Husband, wife? Definitely. But even among office, even among friends, even so many places happen to them. See how it plays with you, how it's making us. So, therefore, surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. And thus, therefore, in the lotus feet also, Krishna says, tat vidhi paripadena parikrishna sevaya. That is the way out to surrender. So, yes, coming back to that point. Of how many millions of lives would have taken to come to Lakshmi. And then, how many millions of lives would have come into an association of a devotee? And if we are, I wouldn't say lucky enough, but if we are sincere enough, how many of us would be able to surrender to a qualified spiritual master? Think about this. We are letting go of such a position. Yet sometimes, even after achieving so much, sometimes what we think, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. I see my friends, I see their they're so happy, they're enjoying it.
Particularly in Singapore, you see, you know, they have everything, right?
They're enjoying it. What's harm? It's okay.
It's okay sometimes.
So many.
That is Maya's trick, number one. That is Maya's trick. You become complacent, sometimes you say, it's all running for a while, and it's all here for a while, it's okay. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and then it becomes such a big okay, and then Krishna is out. A Brahmadishman is an example, I will say, because in India, you travel in local trains or in the trains, you know, there is a three-seater only. Here, there is a three-seater only, three people sit, right? India, not like that, huh? India, you go a three-seater, a small boy will come, and he will just reach this. He will say, okay, I have come from this. Then what happens? Another boy comes. So that, okay, I have come. Then third boy will come. Yeah, I have come. Then the father will come. And then the mother will come. So those three people have to get up. No, like that. So they will take up Maya. One moment you give it to Maya, captures everything. Everything. So like that, it plays. And before you even realize, you are already falling into it. Before you even realize. That is why we say that I don't want to do this, but I am forced to do it. So unbalanced. Still I have to do it. And the length of time you take is all. Again, you know. So it's like that. So, therefore, what is Mahaprabhu saying, Chaitanya Charitamrita? Pramana Pramila Kon Bhagyavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasad Devaya Bhagavan Ji. That Pramana Pramila is this. We are going through so many species of life based on what we have achieved, based on what type of consciousness we have got. Okay, you want to enjoy stool, go in a big body. Anyone else will enjoy stool? No, right? Human body? No, so you can't think of it. Then you go and say, oh, this thing looks very nice. So then it says that Indra Maharaj, that Indra. And we have heard so many times story of Indra, such a great personality. Even that gets attached to the body of the day. It's what this thing was. So yes, you have that enjoyment, go, you want to eat this, you want to get somebody, you want to eat bread, flesh, meat, go, you take a bird of a tiger, take a bird of a lion, so on. So based on the variegatedness of the consciousness, already the enjoyment facility is given. Go to it. And then you come to the human body, and all of Acharya, practically every place, every song, every purport of Prabhupada, it says human life is so rare, so special, still, Anandra Vaikunthamansa, happy, Dinaika, what is that? Eat, sleep, and drink, and marry. That is the motto of this material world. And we get influenced by that. We get influenced because of the environment. So therefore, the association of devotees, getting association with Bhagavad Gita, associated with Bhagavatam, associating with spiritual master's instructions, bombarding again and again on our minds and our intelligence, sharpening our intelligence is so important, so important. It's not that just one day I do it, and it's good for lifetime. No. As long as we are in this material world, every day, nitya, every day. Do something. Okay? We have to take up something seriously. Like my Guru Maharaj says, this particular statement, maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but now he says in his lectures, that Krishna is very easily available to one who is sincere, serious, and what is that look? Surrender. Without, yes. Sincere, serious in that sadhana without any ulterior motives. Krishna gives himself, is very easily available to those who are sincere, serious in their sadhana without ulterior motives. What does that mean without ulterior motives? is probably how with most of the devotees across that. I chant, I read this, and I get five activities, and I will acquire more material things. That is the process, material body. That is one of the effects, correct? We say. But the subtle material motive is lots of them. Acquire pratishtha, acquire recognition, fame, name, that is material motive, number two. Third material motive is? Third material motive is that to do sadhana, or rather let's say, taking sadhana in a very complacent manner. You know, that means we do sadhana with something else. That is another ultimate motive. Many a times we just get into this. Because especially when we get me on chanting and when it particularly becomes very mechanical. I have to finish it sing around somehow or the other. Then it becomes somehow or the other. It doesn't become a priority, it doesn't become the goal of the life, it doesn't become the goal of the day, but it becomes an ulterior motive. Somehow or the other I just have to do it. I have to finish my 16 rounds, okay, fine, but I have this work also, and let me try doing this and this and this. Multitasking. We are used to this multitasking thing, right, in this world. And then one who does multitasking, he is actually very efficient. So you are such an efficient person. You can do so many things at a time. But devotional service, if you do that, then that will be you. And what is the last offense of the 10 offenses in the world? To maintain material attachments, which means to continue to desire material enjoyments in spite of getting so many instructions on this matter. See, that is the last of this. That is the whole, what I should say, that's the top line of this whole lecture. So this is what happens. In spite of so many instructions again and again, please let us give up this material enjoyment. Give up the hope that in this hopeless condition we can still get enjoyment. Please. It's so strong, right? We have heard so many stories about it. Even if somebody is on his deathbed, suffering with disease, still he has the hope of enjoyment. Can you imagine how strong this is? Right? We know that Akbar delivers the story of Akbar taking Akbar's daughter to an old man who is about to die. And the moment the daughter enters, his eyes pops out from the daughter. Can you imagine how strong it is? It is very strong. That is the number one we need to realize. Material nature is very strong. Very strong. So even at that deathbed, he may have just few breaths. And yet, he still has that hope of enjoyment. He still has that hope of being, of getting happiness. See this. So strong root. So we have to cut, as we said, we have to cut by how? By sharpening the intelligence, by surrendering to the spiritual master, associating with the scripture, associating with the devotees, associating with the lecture. So there's so many things are there. Prabhupada has given us so many things for our benefit. It's up to us whether we want to take it or not. That's our free will. Krishna is giving. That is Krishna giving our free will. So sometimes this free will actually is a root cause. Right? So then we buy the free will. But that's the free will because without that free will, there is a question of love. Today in your technology, you are making robots. We ask Robert to bring a glass of water. It will bring you a glass of water, not a glass of juice. So I feel like giving you juice today, so I got juice. No. No free will. No free will. So,
That is what it is.
So therefore Krishna gave us the free will, but that will
tiny, tiny, little free will.
With that free will we can't become the controller, we can't become the enjoyer, we can't compete with Krishna. That free will is for us to lovingly surrender in the service of the Lord. That is all Krishna wants. Because the moment you do that, he takes us out of the material world. That guarantee he gives us. So many places, he said in the first beginning, like the verses that he said is, one surrender to me, sarva dharvan vidya dharvan ayam sharana praja ram dham sarvatyo moksha ishyami maasam sarva. So to do that, we must do this. Man mana ava, man vasto, madhya dhimam, namastu. Maam eva jesus kante, thank you. That Manmana Bhagavan also has to come in a very natural way. We don't have to force ourselves to that stage. So our sadhana, if it is serious and sincere, it will come to that stage of Manmana Bhagavan automatically, naturally. Why? Because the soul naturally has that love of Krishna. The moment we realize the soul, that we are not this body, we are not this self, we are not this mind, we are the soul, and eternally we are connected to our real identity, that natural love will automatically start growing. And once that starts growing, that all these manmana, avaman, tattva, madhyajma, namasuru, mangala aarti at 4 o'clock and chanting 16 rounds becomes natural. Therefore, Guru Goswami says, what? That what is the taste of Krishna, the two words? Sour taste. The taste is like nectar. Sour taste. I want millions of times, millions of years to hear it and to taste it. That is the taste of the word Krishna. Because the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. So that is very important to understand, and that is the process of getting out of this entanglement. So therefore the last point I will tell is that as a devotee, please use this body for the purpose of the soul, not the other way around. Don't use this soul for the purpose of the body. Don't use this life force that you have got in human body to enjoy this body and the senses that are being bombarded. It should be the other way around, and the other way around only happens when our intelligence is sharpened. And the second thing is, let's make the environment around us, whether at home or in office. In temple, obviously you get as much as possible to get ourselves engaged in that environment. Because the more we get engaged in this environment, the more we will be inspired in our spiritual life. The more we will progress spiritually. That is very important. Don't think that I can do everything alone. I will sit home and read the whole of Bhagavatam and the whole of Bhagavad Gita and I will recite everything. Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita, you can learn and read hundreds of times for use. There are so many of them, hundreds, besides that and life. How many of us now have gone to this Bhagavad Gita, you know, the yearly yagna that happens in Singapore? Gita Jayanti. You see, there are so many people coming with the Bhagavad Gita books, whichever it may be, but the shlokas is the same, right? And they recite the whole of Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada says, how many of them understand what is the purpose of life? So let's not lose that purpose of life. We can become scholars, we can become whatever we want. Read scripture, that will write, yes, but don't lose the essence, don't lose the purpose, what is for men, or what Prabhupada has given it for. Scholarly academics, good in one sense, but unless we have that essence. So, use this body for the purpose of the soul, which is to serve Krishna lovingly in devotion. Thank you very much. Any comments, please? in realizations. Thank you so much for being patient and tolerance, because being in a world of witness, now if you are in a world of passion, let down the